الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان، إنه لكم عدو مبين. آمنت بالله، صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected علماء الكرام, elders and brothers, young ones in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Before commencing on the discussion that I had in mind today, I felt it appropriate to recite some verse of poetry, because generally from this podium and this minbar, a person who has got noor in his heart speaks. And therefore those words, simple words, many a time have great, great effects. And when people like me speak, then that effect is not found. And I consider myself to be addressed in that verse of poetry of my Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatum. He says that, kyun aah mein kuch taaseer nahi, kya ishq ka dil mein teer nahi. He says, kyun aah mein kuch taaseer nahi, kya ishq ka dil mein teer nahi. جب نور نہیں خود ہی دل میں منبر پہ وہ کیا برسائیں گے. جب نور نہیں خود ہی دل میں منبر پہ وہ کیا برسائیں گے. He says that why is that effect not there in that in those speeches and symposiums and conferences. کیا عشق کا دل میں تیر نہیں. Perhaps that arrow of love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not there in the heart. When we don't have noor in our hearts ourselves, then what will we spread from the members? But nevertheless, with the barakat of those who speak here, and Hazrat Maulana, I make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that even though we are not worthy and our words do not have that effect, but for the benefit of the people who come here, Allah, I make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put that effect into those words and put the ishq and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into our hearts. In the verse of the Quran Sharif that was recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and it is a very, very simple verse of the Quran Sharif, yet we are found lacking in implementing it into our lives. And therefore I thought, and I have been speaking about it the last few Jummas, that we should discuss this verse in detail and try and implement it in our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala basically says in the verse, O believers, ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, udkhulu fi silmi kaffa, enter into Islam completely, wala tattabi'u khutwati shaytan, follow not the footsteps of shaytan, innahu lakum aduwwum mubeen, verily he is for you an open enemy, a clear enemy. Very, very simple, no rocket science, easy to understand. O believers, enter into Islam completely, do not follow the footsteps of shaytan, he is for you an open enemy. So it is very, very easy to understand. But let us go into the depths of this verse of the Holy Quran and try and understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us? What is the message there? And let us then look in retrospect whether we are practicing upon the dictates of this verse or there is still much to be desired from us with regards to practicing upon this verse of the Holy Quran. If we take the very first part of this verse, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, it is mentioned in so many places in the Holy Quran. But if we have to analyze it, it is full of love. It is an address to us, but the address is full of love. Muhabbat bara khitab hai. It is an address that is full of love. And it is because of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has for us, that He has addressed us in this manner. O believers, He has addressed us by the quality that bonds us with Him, that links us up with Him, just as how when a father tells a son whose name is Zayd, that, O Zayd, do this for me. And if he says, O son, do this for me, then a worthy son feels much more pleasure in hearing the word, O my son, do this for me. O my son, do this for me. Because he has addressed him by the quality that bonds him with that person. So, in these verses of the Quran Sharif, throughout the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, this khitab and address, it is full of love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala address us with love? It is to awaken us. It is to awaken us to say that, oh believers, the reason why I am addressing you in this way is because what I am about to say, the command that I am about to give, or the thing that I am about to prohibit you from, in reality, it is full of love. Because I love you, that is why I am commanding you to do something, or I am prohibiting you from doing something. It is because of the mercy that I have for you. It is because of the compassion that I have for you, that I am asking you to do something, or prohibiting you from doing something. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. This is what this part of the verse of the Quran Sharif. Therefore, listen well. In other words, I am not going to benefit from this command of mine. Isme mera koi fayda nahi hai. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. In other words, that I am telling you to do this because it is for your benefit. I am prohibiting you from doing this because it is for your benefit. Wallah, Allah does not benefit a single thing if we pray do our prayers, fast in the month of Ramadan, go for Hajj, do our zikr, abstain from illicit relationships. Allah does not benefit a single bit. It is we are the ones who benefit. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that, O believers, listen very, very carefully. What I am about to say, it is full of compassion, full of love. It is for your very benefit. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something which is very, very interesting. He says, Udkhulu fis-silm. Enter into Islam. O believers, now look at who is being addressed. Those who have accepted Allah as the only deity worthy of worship. Those who have accepted the finality of the Nubuwwat and Prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Those who have believed with all their yaqeen that the day of Qiyamah will take place. In the messengers that were sent. In the angels. In Jannat and Jahannam, they have believed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you believers, enter into Islam. Believers should enter into Islam. So we need to understand what Islam is then. Because we have believed. But then what is Islam? And perhaps in our time and ages, there is not a time where the name Islam is being used more for anything than in our times. We have Islamic commercial enterprises, Islamic educational institutions, Islamic organizations, All of them are there. But what does this word Islam mean? Some say it comes from the word salam. So that means peace. And therefore Islam is peace. And some say it means obedience. But if we have to search for the meaning of this word Islam, then the dictionaries are almost unanimous that Islam ka matlab hai jhuk jana. Islam means to bow down. To bow down. To submit oneself. That is what Islam means. In other words, perhaps we can understand it by way of example. If I tell a person to do something, and that person goes and thinks about what I have told him to do, and if he finds it beneficial, he goes ahead and embarks upon it. And if in his mind it is not beneficial, then he does not embark upon it. So this is not jhuk jana. This is not Islam. It is not bowing down. It is not submission. This is not Islam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to enter into Islam, it means to accept, to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether we understand the wisdom behind it, or we do not understand the wisdom behind it. Jhuk jana. We cannot ask questions thereafter, that what is the wisdom behind it? Why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to do it? And strangely enough, the Quran Sharif speaks about this in the incident of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam. Which law can ever allow a father to kill his son? To slaughter his son? Which rationale does that command follow? But Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam asked, فَلَمَّا بَلَغْ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ. I've been commanded to kill you, in other words. I've been commanded to slaughter you. And Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu was salam says, Ya Abati, O my beloved father, if al ma tu'mar, do what you have been commanded to do, without batting an eyelid. There could have been 101 excuses and 101 questions that they could have posed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that what sort of command is this? But no, if al ma tu'mar, do what you have been commanded to do. And after this whole incident, after the whole incident, the word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses when Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam went to slaughter him, the word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses in Surah Was-Saffat, he said, فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا. When they too accepted Islam, surely they were believers before that, they were prophets before that. But when they accepted Islam, when they submit themselves to the Lord of the worlds, without asking questions, let us try and go a little bit more further. A person where he is a subordinate of another person, there is perhaps three categories of that. One is, I am an employer and I have got an employee. So that is the lowest category of submission. The very lowest category of submission. Where my job is fully described, I know exactly what I have to do and my hours are fixed. If you ask me to do anything else besides my job description, I do not have to do that. If you ask me to work overtime, then I will be paid for that overtime. It is not my obligation to work overtime. So that is the lowest level of submission. A little bit higher than that we get, and it does not exist in our times, but the slavery, where there is no job description and there is no hours that are fixed. A slave had to work for the master, do anything and everything that the master said, and at any time that the master commanded him to do so. So this is the second level of submission. And a third level of submission is our submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The slave, he has to do everything that the master tells him to do at any time, but he does not worship the master. But the banda, me and you, we have to do everything that the master tells us to do, at whatever time he tells us to do it. And together with all of that, we also worship our master. Now, let us understand in retrospect, that our employees, supposing I have a driver, I have got a driver and I jump into the car and I tell the driver that take me to the airport. If that driver has to turn back and look at me and say, Saab, why do you want to go to the airport? Look at the weather now. What is the wisdom behind going now? Can't we go a little bit later? So do we tolerate that sort of behavior from someone who is at the lowest level of submission? Who is at the lowest level? Do we tolerate that from our subordinates? So how then do we expect to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what the wisdom behind something is? Indeed, every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is full of wisdom. But our practicing upon it is not based upon whether we understand the wisdom behind it or not. Very quickly we'll go to the next part of the verse, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kaffa, O believers, enter into Islam, accept my commandments and my prohibitions, without trying to understand what the wisdom behind it is, or without basing your practice upon it, upon whether you understand the wisdom behind it or not, and enter into that Islam completely. Unfortunately, we have compartmentalized Deen and Islam in Sharia, where it suits us, where we feel that we are going to get a higher stake in the inheritance, let's do it Sharia way. Or where we feel that all along we were going non-Sharia way, and now it suits us, so we go Sharia. Of course, in every aspect of our deen, our Islam, we have to follow the... Otherwise, our educational institutions cannot be called Islamic. Yes, they are Muslim. Perhaps there are some parts of Islam that are practiced there, but not the entire Islam. Similarly, our commercial enterprises, they cannot be called Islamic, because they have not entered into Islam completely. Perhaps some of their dealings and transactions are Islamic, but they have not fulfilled the dictates of this verse of the Quran Sharif. Islam is a package. It covers and regulates every aspect of our lives. Every aspect of our lives is governed by it. From the time we are born until way after we die. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran, Sunnah and Sharia have laid down clear guidelines. I mean, which other deen and religion has explained to a person how to knock on the door, how to enter the toilet, what to say when you come out of the toilet? Which other religion has gone into so much detail? Which other religion has explained how to deal with one's, how to conduct one's marriage ceremonies, one's walimas? How to dress, how to cut your hair, how to trim your nails? Which other religion has? And if we do not follow Islam in totality, then we have not fulfilled the dictates of this verse. Islam is not only to be practiced in the masjid or on the 20th of August when Ramadan starts. Islam is not only for those periods of time. Islam is universal for all times to come. And therefore we have to practice upon the dictates of this verse of the Quran Sharif. Now we should look in retrospect that has Islam entered every part of our lives or not? And if not, then we should endeavor to bring that Islam into our life. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ, and do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. Verily he is for you a clear enemy. In other words, trying to tell us that if we are not going to follow Islam, then there is no middle path. There is no middle path. Ke razi rahe rahman bhi, khush rahe shaitan bhi. There is no such thing that we can keep shaitan happy also and rahman happy also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we are not following the Quran, Sunnah and Shariat, then we are on the pathway of shaitan. We are already on the pathway of shaitan. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطْوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ. So our plea is, our deep-hearted plea is, that to bring Islam into our hearts, into our lives, in every aspect of our lives, our functions and walimas, our social lives, When we deal with our wives, when we deal with our family members, just as how we portray an image of piety on the outside, let that image of piety also be portrayed when we are at home, not in front of friends. It reminds me of a verse of poetry. He says that, Khuda se agar tujhko hai kuch muhabbat. Khuda se agar tujhko hai kuch muhabbat, to uski alamat ye sun le tu mujhse. Khuda se agar tujhko hai kuch muhabbat, to uski alamat ye sun le tu mujhse. Ke tu ba khuda jaise rehta hai jalwat mein waisi hi ho teri khalwat ki baatein khuda se agar tujhko hai kuch mohabbat to uski alamat ye sun le tu mujhse ke tu ba khuda jaise rehta hai jalwat mein waisi hi ho teri khalwat ki baatein. He says that if you have any love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then listen to what the alamat of this love is. What is the sign that you have got love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ke tu ba khuda jaise rehta hai jalwat mein. Just as how you portray a very, very pious image and you remain ba khuda as though you are the greatest Allah wala in jalwat and in public, in your public life, then your private life should also portray that very same Allah waliyat. And that very same friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you are a pious person. And a pious person is not one who is all the time gloomy and who sits with a tasbih. A pious one is the one who fulfills the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at any particular time. That is what piety is. If you walk into the house, then piety is to smile at the wife and talk to her nicely and kindly. At that time, piety is not to sit with a thousand dana tasbih and close the eyes and act like Bayazid Bustami. That is not piety. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith has that when he entered the house, he entered cheerfully. Not like how many cases we are getting now recently. Elderly ladies are phoning and they are saying that we don't know, that when he comes into the house, he is full of anger. Elderly days, 35, 40 years into the marriage, and this is the condition. This is not piety. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice upon Islam in totality. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from following the footsteps of shaitan. May he remove the problems, difficulties and calamities that are facing the ummah around the world, especially in Swat, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Palestine. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.